You are listening to Find Your Flow in MoCo, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Find Your Flow in MoCo. I'm your co-host, Natasha Lai.
Hey, y'all. I'm your host, Danielle Gibson. Today, we are joined by Ken Gardner, the president of the Alabama Jubilee Hot Air Balloon Festival Committee. Thank you so much for coming to speak with us today, Ken.
Thanks for having me today.
Very excited to have you and to learn a little bit more about this awesome jubilee that you guys plan every year. But before we get started, we're going to dive into our cheese straw segment first. Do we have a guest today, Danielle?
Well, Ken, surprise. Can you explain what a cheese straw is to us?
Okay, you're putting me on the spot. I have no idea.
No, you're good.
Oh, he's part of the Natasha team. Actually, not anymore, because Natasha got to have cheese straws. Yeah, yeah. Malia sent her some cheese straws, so she got to experience it firsthand. So I guess we need to get Ken some cheese straws, too.
Sounds like it. Awesome. Well,
I guess I'm open to try.
They're pretty good. I like them.
Okay, good.
Well, so Ken, we'll just go a little off topic here. So we have the treat trail. So tell us, what is your favorite dessert here in Morgan County?
Here in Morgan County, I like cheesecake. I don't know. I think there's a local lady that bakes cheesecakes here, and I would have to go with cheesecake.
There you go.
Hey, we're still with the cheese. You know, cheese segment. It's just a little different.
Yeah. There you go.
Not as salty. So there you go.
You know what? We got to have a little bit of sweet to balance out the salt.
That's right. So Ken, can you tell us, let's just start at the beginning of the Jubilee Festival. This is one of the, premier festivals that we host here in Decatur that is so unique to us. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of the Hot Air Balloon Festival?
Okay, going back to 1976, maybe 1977, there was a gentleman here named Chris Bell. Chris made a trip to Albuquerque, New Mexico for one of the first balloon fiestas out there and came back just on fire with, we need to do this, we need to do this. He got with Morgan County, Morgan County and Chamber of Commerce and Point Mallard at the time, and said, hey, you know, what better advertising could you do than have a hot air balloon? So that was the brainchild of Chris Bell and the birth of the first Decatur Point Mallard hot air balloon at the time. It had Decatur in big letters on one side, and then on the other side, it had Point Mallard Park. So along with the balloon, then it inspired the need to have a balloon activity here other than just taking the balloon out and flying it. So the first year, I believe, was 77 or 78 that the balloon was introduced into Decatur, and that was our first hot air balloon event in Decatur. We had like 17 balloons, and we called it the Alabama Jubilee. From there, it continued to grow. Instead of just having balloons in the morning and the afternoon on Saturday, and then on Sunday morning, we expanded it to where now we have arts and crafts show. We've got an antique car show, a tractor show. We've got a midway. And this year, right now, I think we've got about 15 food vendors. And then we'll have merchandise vendors on the midway. We've got live music. We'll have a karaoke contest on Sunday afternoon, I believe it is. And then I'm not sure of the bands Saturday night and Sunday night, but we'll have live music starting about 5:30 or 6 o'clock and going until 10 o'clock. And then on Sunday night, and one of the things we've always tried to do on Sunday night since we started our fireworks, we always have a break in the music, and it's either 9 or 9:15. We'll have our fireworks extravaganza, and the crowds for that are always huge.
So I meant to mention also, Natasha, I don't know that we've ever talked about this, but Decatur Morgan County Tourism actually owns their own balloon, and Ken is our pilot. And so sometimes throughout the year, he will say, hey, I would like to take the balloon to this or that or whatever he thinks would be a great promotional tool for both Decatur Marine County Tourism and for the Jubilee Festival. He'll take it out and, you know, really promote our area.
That's awesome. No, you haven't mentioned that before. So I'm learning new things too, along with everyone else.
Oh, and also a lot of the time when we have nonprofits that maybe are trying to raise money for charities or things like that, we will also offer a balloon certificate to help them raise funds. And that also gives them an opportunity to get out with Ken and take a balloon ride. So we had a couple of our employees a couple of years ago go out on the balloon and they loved it. So, and this is not really in our script, but what is so neat about the balloon festival is the weather has to be just right. Isn't that right, Ken?
Yeah, we've got to have, for balloons, you've got to have light winds and a good traveling direction. Here in Decatur, we're blessed with plenty of water. To the north of our launch field is the Tennessee River. And then to the east of our launch field is Flint Creek. Now, I've been all over the United States and I've crossed rivers, but you ain't crossed no river until you cross the Tennessee River. Where we're at, the Tennessee River is about 2.5 miles across. Wow. The little creek there, most people think of a little creek about maybe 100 yards across or something. Right there where we're at, Flint Creek is about 3/4 of a mile across. So we've got to have the weather conditions where we can fly. Now, if you think about it, the Decatur Hot Air Balloon is almost 70 feet tall and 57 feet in diameter. Now, the envelope itself, which is the balloon itself, weighs 250 pounds. The fabric is like 1.2 ounce per yard fabric. So with very much wind, it will affect the way the balloons fly, okay? And if we've got winds above the surface, we're not as concerned with those as long as they're not outrageously fast. But the surface winds are what we're concerned with more than anything else. Because with the surface winds, if you're going 15 miles an hour across the ground at 100 feet, chances are when you touch down, you're going to be doing 15 miles an hour. Because we don't got no brakes on these things. So they actually go with the wind.
Ooh.
Rain showers, we are very, very cautious about that. Thunderstorms, if there's a thunderstorm within 150 miles, we will not let the balloons go. We may stand them up on the field, but as far as an actual flight, off of thunderstorms, you get something called gust fronts. And those have been known to extend past the thunderstorm or out in front of the thunderstorm up to 100 miles. So even with a thunderstorm 100 miles away, we've still got to be cautious because of the winds that could be above the surface.
Do y'all remember that movie Around the World in 80 Days? It was like, it's really old and they were on the balloon. Yes. And they would like, they were traveling the world and they went through all of these different things. I'm like, that's so crazy. It's a movie though. So that's not
it's
really
a movie. It's a movie. Yes. It's a movie.
So Ken, will you kind of tell us, there are a lot of pilots that come to this event. Do you want to kind of tell us where all they come from? I know they come from a long way off.
We've had pilots in the past come from as far away as Arizona.
Wow.
We've got pilots now that come from Louisiana, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky. There's a couple from Louisiana. I don't know of anyone from North Carolina coming this year, but we've had a really, really good representation over the years of pilots coming from all over the United States.
That's really
and
cool.
And visitors, oh my gosh, we've got one set of visitors that come up and they camp out just as you enter the field. It started out several years ago with about 5 guys. And then the next year it was 10 guys. And then it was 20 guys. And now when you walk out from behind the prayer chapel right there, if you look to your right side as you're coming through the gate there, there may be a group of 30 or 35 people that have come up from southern Georgia to come just to the event.
I love that. They're dedicated.
They are.
Camping out and everything.
They are.
So can you kind of tell us a little bit more about what it's like to be a spectator at the event, and then a little bit more information about the balloon races and then the balloon glow, and then if the weather is just right, there may possibly be tether rides.
Right. To be a spectator, one of the things that we encourage, it's a family event. Bring your children, bring a blanket. Some people bring a sunshade. You know, it's free. So you come and enjoy the event. Now, I say it's free. It's a free admission. We do have food vendors that sell their wares, that sell their food, and then we'll have some merchandise vendors along the midway also. To be a spectator out at Jubilee, the first time you walk out there, you may have seen a balloon in the air somewhere. But then to walk out and this gentle giant is standing there that's, like I said, the Decatur balloon is 70 feet tall, 57 feet in diameter, and you see this standing there and you hear the roar of the burner. The first time I did it, it really sent chills up my spine. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And it's one thing to see one balloon sitting there. It's another thing to walk out and see as many as 60 balloons sitting there. The field, and that's a 77-acre field, so three-quarters of the field is full of hot air balloons. And then you've got your typical balloons, which the Decatur balloon is would be called a typical balloon because it's a rounded-shaped balloon. And then you've got the special-shaped balloons. I'm not sure what special shapes we'll have this year, but we will have at least four special shapes. We've got a gentleman from up in Kentucky that he comes down, and we actually hire four of his special shapes to come into the field. And they usually put up, they usually do not fly, but they'll stand up on Saturday morning and stand there for an hour, 2 hours while the crowd lingers around. And also while the other balloons fly off to do the task that we have that morning. Then on Saturday afternoon, they'll stand up again. And then on Sunday afternoon, since we do our key grab on Sunday morning, those pilots bring their own balloons and will join the rest of the pack of balloons to do the key grab that morning.
Very cool.
Okay.
Will you explain a little bit more about what the key grab is?
Okay. The key grab is one of two race events that we have. The key grab, and it's sponsored and has been sponsored by Lynn Layton Chevrolet here for, I believe he has been a sponsor for about 37 years for our key grab. The key grab, we've got a place on the field that we put a 20-foot tall pole. On top of the pole, there is a 10-inch ring, okay? The task is for the pilots to go outside of Point Mallard Park and fly back into the park and get the ring off of the top of the pole. And if they do that, there's a nice cash prize for that.
Do they all go at the same time?
They usually spread out because everybody has got their thoughts on where to launch from.
Okay.
You know, what we'll do is we'll have a briefing at 6 o'clock in the morning. The pilots will, a lot of them will have the GPS coordinates of where the pole is. Then they will go out and do their wind readings and usually launch from somewhere around the Decatur area, or if the wind's blowing the opposite way, they'll go up toward the Priceville area and then try and navigate back into the field. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, we don't have a way of turning the balloons. We depend totally on the wind for our direction and our speed. So you've got to go out. Most of us will launch a 12-inch helium balloon and then get compass readings off of that balloon. And we know that a 12-inch helium balloon will ascend at 300 feet a minute. So we usually have got a stopwatch and a compass, and we will note when the balloon starts turning to the left or to the right. And a lot of us will jot that down or whatever. And then we will guess to our best ability on the best spot to launch from to get back into Point Mallard and to get the key. I think since we've been doing the key grab, I believe it has been won 5 times, and I've come within 6 feet of it.
That's impressive.
Yes. Now, the other task that we do is a hound and hare. And that's probably the most popular because everybody can understand what we're doing a little bit better. That we do on Saturday morning. And we'll have our pilots briefing at 6 a.m. And then the pilots will go out and start spreading out their balloons. The hare balloon, which is the lead balloon, and the Decatur balloon will probably be that this year. If I'm the hare balloon, I'll get in the balloon, I'll inflate the balloon, and fly off the field. I'll be the first one off. No other balloon can start their cold inflation until I am hot inflated and I lift off from the field. I'll fly out a predetermined time or a predetermined distance and land, and I'll have a couple of judges with me, and they'll have a big, huge yellow X. And they'll move away from the balloon slightly and then place the X on the ground. And that's the target for the pack of hounds. Now, while I'm doing the flight, the hound balloons are inflating and lifting off. Some guys can inflate in 5 minutes. It takes other guys, it seems like 30 minutes to inflate. So it's not where the balloons are just popped up and going all at one time. It's kind of staggered out. And what the task is for the hound balloons is to fly as close to my track as they can, drop down and drop a beanbag onto the center of the X. And it's marked from dead center and will usually mark out to about 200 feet from the center of the X. Even though we've had the same judge for years and years, and he says, if you drop it, I'll try and measure it. So he's had some that have dropped 1,000 feet away, and he'll go out and measure. He's got all types of sophisticated measuring equipment to do that. So he'll go out and measure almost anybody that he can find their beanbag for.
That's so fun.
And that's also, that is the photo opportunity of the event, to see 55 to 60 hot air balloons lifting off the ground and in the air about the same time.
I can imagine. That's really cool, just picturing all of them. And I am very impressed by the skill it takes to even get within like 200 feet of that X, since you guys don't really have as much steering per se. It's just wind and you guiding your balloon. That's really cool. I'm very in awe right now, just learning so much about how hot air balloons work.
It's a very unique way of flying. One thing, I've got to have friends to fly because I've got to have help because everything weighs so much with a balloon. And then to totally depend on the wind and get from one point to another point, it takes a certain skill level. Now, we always don't land where we want to, but generally we know the direction that we're going. And in doing flights around Decatur, I always try and find a place that's easy access, close to a road, hopefully short, nice grass, and somebody that doesn't mind if we land in their yard or their pasture.
There you go.
It's a lot to be a pilot. I think me and Natasha would not be suited for expertise. There's a lot to think about and maneuver around, and it's just really incredible. So it's quite the sight to see. And then most of the balloons also have different themes, so none of them look alike, which is really fun.
That's awesome. It's almost like a colored kaleidoscope in the air. And some of the balloons have got patchwork colors on them. Some have got spirals going up and down. The Decatur balloon is a light blue with, I guess you could call it, almost teardrops coming down from the bottom and over the top. And then my personal balloon is solid black on the top, down to the equator, and then it's got rainbow colors going all the way around the balloon. So it's a balloon can be almost anything that you can imagine as far as the design and the color.
So much fun. Great for photo ops too.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
And we hadn't really talked about how many people typically attend this event.
Well, from Point Mallard to 6th Avenue is about 2.5 miles. On Saturday afternoon, get there early because I have had reports of traffic backed up all the way to 6th Avenue. Walking through the crowd, always try and speculate, and I imagine if this were a football stadium that holds 90 or 100,000 people, how much of a section could I put those people in? So my guesstimation for Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon is we will have between 35,000 and 45,000 people out there most times. Now, Saturday morning and Sunday morning are our smaller crowds. One reason people don't like to get up at 5:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock to be out there in time to see the balloons. But that's the more spectacular time to me is the morning flights. Sunday morning is probably our least crowd because we're still having problems getting people to understand that the balloons leave the field and then fly back into the field. Mm. So, and it also takes a little more time for those balloons to come back onto the field. So instead of a mass ascension at 6:30 like we do on Saturday, you'll have balloons trickle back into the field on Sunday trying to get the key off the pole there.
It's so fascinating learning all about this. I am curious, Ken, what is your favorite part about the festival?
I've been involved with the Alabama Jubilee now for, I believe it's 38 years. I started in 1984 or 1985. And whenever I first started, it was the fascination of being out there with the other pilots and flying. Now I enjoy walking out through the field and seeing the little kids and seeing the expressions on their face, the excitement they have in seeing a hot air balloon or being out there just with so many other people with everything going on. The adults, you can still see that childish excitement in their eyes most of the time when we start inflating. It's the wow factor and the smiles on people's face just seeing the balloons and being involved, and also them being able to walk up and get close to a hot air balloon. Many events that you go to, they keep the spectators away from the balloons, but you can actually get out and roam around and touch the basket. And if the conditions are right, possibly even get in line and take a tether ride. A tether ride, the balloon is tied down and you go up approximately 25 or 30 feet. And it gives you the sensation of what flying in a hot air balloon actually is.
That sounds perfect for my mom. One of her dreams is to ride in a hot air balloon. So
okay,
might have to get her down there to take a tether ride.
Yeah. Well, Natasha, maybe you can dare Danielle to fly.
Ooh. I understand.
If Danielle, she comes, I will do it, but very scary.
You know,
I really don't even know because I've never been on it. So there's that. I trust Ken though. I do. So I know he would take good care of us.
Yeah. There we go. Well, maybe that can be a future goal for both of us, Danielle, because I'd also be really nervous about it.
We can do it. But we can do it.
Well, I had one lady that she never would fly with me, and she told me she was deathly afraid of heights and nervous to fly, and her son would jump in the basket anytime. And finally, one day, I looked at her, and she was holding the basket down. I said, "Get in the basket with me." And she got in and sat down on the floor, and she sat there for probably 15 minutes. And the basket's got some little, I call them windows, decorative weaving in the basket. After a little while, I looked down. I said, "Okay, stand up." She stood up. She grabbed one of the uprights. She grabbed my arm, and I thought she was going to squeeze my arm off. And we were flying over to Decatur, and somebody stopped and looked up at the balloon, and she said, "Oh, my God, that's so-and-so." And she became so excited. She was yelling and waving and just got so excited she could not contain herself. Well, we finished the flight, landed, did a first flight ceremony with her. And then the next day when I got home from work, I had a 30-minute phone message on my answering machine where she called me and she said, "Ken, you have now cured me of my fear of heights." Oh. I went over to Huntsville. I found the tallest building I could. I walked right out to the edge and I stood there and I so enjoyed it.
That is impressive.
Mm-hmm. And awesome. What I usually do, if I know you're nervous, whenever I'm getting the balloon ready to go, I'll get you to focus on me and I'll start telling you something. And I'll reach up and I'll hit the burners a couple of times and I'll tell you something. I'll burn again. And then I'll ask you, what are you nervous about? We're already 50 feet in the air.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it.
It's like awesome. He's a pro or something.
Literally, I was just going to say he's got it down pat, knows how to trick you into not even noticing you're flying.
That's so super.
That's incredible.
So see, Danielle, you could do it.
Yes. I'm going to do it one day.
One day.
I believe in you, Danielle.
Only if you come, Natasha. Only if you come.
Okay. Well, if I come, I guess we're going on a hot air balloon ride.
We are. Can't wait.
Yep. When are you buying your tickets, Natasha?
Well, fun fact, we have been actually trying to plan some fam tours for the remainder of this year, and Decatur's on that. So,
okay,
I don't know when yet, Danielle, so don't get
newsflash. I didn't know anything about this. Uh-huh. How exciting.
Yeah, that's because it's just slowly in the works, but I don't know any specific dates, but I am trying to get out there. So,
oh my goodness. Good. That's so exciting. Well, Ken, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today about the festival. Can't wait. It's always so much fun and a premier event. And thank you and your committee for all of the hard work that you guys do throughout the year to make this festival such a huge success. On the outside, it looks like it's just runs flawlessly and you make it look easy, but we know that all the details it's a lot. So we appreciate you and we appreciate you flying our balloon too.
Well, thank you. And let me say something about the Jubilee Committee. We're a group of probably 25, 30 people, and they pay us very well for being on the committee. We get a pen, we get a couple of t-shirts, and we get a couple of meals out of it. So nice. We actually have no paid members of the Jubilee Committee. We work, well, after the Jubilee, we take June off. And then we come right back and we start planning for the next year. And we solicit sponsorships and trade outs and whatever we've got to do to get the funding to put the event on. And I also want to give a shout out to all of our sponsors. I'm not going to start naming any because I'll forget somebody. But we've got several sponsors that have been with us for years and years. And without their support, we could not have this event and have it as a free admission event.
That's so awesome. I loved hearing everything about this, and I can tell how much you love it, Ken. It's definitely something to look forward to. So I appreciate you taking the time to join us and to just share something you love so much with us.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. So before we go, though, Danielle, are there any other events or news that you want to share with our listeners?
Sure. So we talked about the April walking tours, and we just had one in the last couple of weeks, and we had over 87 people attend the first one, which is pretty massive. And, you know, the theme was Decatur crime, which is not new crime. It's old crime. It's about St. McGee, the boat captain, and Miss Kate, and the pet drinking pig, which I just think is so much fun. And apparently everybody else did too. So the April walking tours have gone over extremely well. So I'm glad that we were able to have Caroline Swope on here to talk about that. This is a very busy season for our community. So we will have Third Friday starting back up, which is always a great event. And they're adding new things this year. So that's going to be great fun. Food Truck Fridays are always a good time. We always have a lot of community that come out and they gather around the Old State Bank, which is one of our attractions. So that, you know, if you're looking for lunch on a Friday, that's a great way to get outside and really enjoy. And then this is festival season. So I would encourage everybody, as usual, to please go to our calendar of events on DecaturCVB.org. And then also you can find really lots of information on our Instagram, our Facebook, and our TikTok. So we are just looking forward to Point Mallard Water Park opening too. So Ooh, lots of fun. The first wave pool right here in the city of Decatur. So that's always fun. You can do the Jubilee and go swimming and go walking and lots of fun things to do out there at Point Mallard Park. So we're looking forward to a wonderful summer season. We're hoping that the summer weather comes sometime soon too. So
we understand.
Quite dreary around here.
Relatable. You weren't on, but I was telling Ken earlier that we have been getting snow again, so understand.
Wow. Yeah, we've had tornadoes and then cold weather and then it's raining and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is wild. But that's okay. It's going to be a great summer. We can't wait.
Yeah, it's just getting us more excited for summer and all the awesome events that are coming up, like our awesome Alabama Jubilee Festival. So.
And I will say, you need to go ahead and start booking your hotel rooms, or if you're staying at the campground, whatever that might be, because it is a very busy, busy time of the year.
Perfect.
And remember, that is Memorial Day weekend, which is May 28th and 29th this year.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. And this has been Find Your Flow in MoCo. Thanks for listening to Find Your Flow in MoCo, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Natasha Lai and Danielle Gibson, produced by Relic.